Hi, this is Andrew Bass, and this is the Performance Podcast.
I recently wrote a newsletter about the frustrations that leaders often feel when they see slow progress on strategically important goals. A typical example was a chairman I saw recently who threw his pen down in exasperation and said, "We've been talking about this cross-selling thing for a year and nothing has happened." Such businesses are often substantial, growing businesses with top-notch engineers, professionals, and commercial deal makers. But consider these examples, and let's talk about cross-selling first. People always talk about it, and many initiatives are launched on cross-selling with the general agreement of all concerned, and the executive committee anticipates the results. It's going to be great. But it turns out to be what they say in publishing, what they call the calm before the calm. What's going on? In one UK top 20 law firm, a corporate partner was handling an acquisition that involved a property matter, a great cross-selling opportunity, you would think, bringing his own property partner. So why did he refer his client to a property lawyer at a rival firm? The reason was he was scared of losing control of the client relationship. And this is not an issue where a new CRM can help one iota, and financial incentives won't do it either, unless you're going to spend a lot more money than you ever dream of countenancing. Second example, introducing an obviously superior modification to a product. Say the strategy calls for a sales drive on a new version of a product, which customers will love. But months later, the CEO is amazed to find their customer is still installing the old version, which is less attractive and wears out twice as fast than the new one would. And worse, the new solution offered by the competition is better. It makes no sense, except that the CEO salespeople understood how to sell the old product. They just take the order and get onto the next meeting, and therefore they see that as being safer. It's easier for them to make their bonuses. This is a situation where more product training is unlikely to make a scrap of difference. Third example, the idea of innovation from those close to the customer. The executive team wonder why they're always the ones who come up with new ideas. They exhort those in the thick of it to bring them innovations relevant to customers, but nothing ever happens. Why? Well, someone tried it once and was treated like a fool because in their inexperience, they didn't explain the idea well, and so it was ripped to pieces. Now, people believe that coming up with a poor idea is going to be career limiting. And what won't help here is something like a suggestion box or a seminar on brainstorming 50 uses for a brick. Okay, so what will help? Well, whatever new behaviours or practices you propose have to work from the perspective of the people concerned. Easy to say, but rarely done well. You have to, as realistically as you can, adopt their point of view and then ask yourself if you feel like doing what you've been asked, not just if you think it makes logical sense. After all, you wouldn't want to lose control of a key client relationship or risk your bonus or be thought of by the directors as that fool who brought the half-baked idea into the dragon's den. Once you get a feel for their perspective, for what it's like to be in that situation, then you can start to rethink the way you get the idea of what you want across. For example, there are a number of ways that cross-selling could enhance the corporate partner's relationship with their client while enabling them to retain a sense of control. You could ensure that the salespeople who are the ones that get on in your organisation are those who do the most to support the new strategic direction and the new products you want to introduce. Or maybe it's as simple as just boldly withdrawing the old version. Directors could mentor would-be innovators to nurture and strengthen their new ideas. I'm sure you can come up with other approaches. The point is to escape from the mental trap that what makes sense from your point of view as the leader is necessarily compelling to others. After all, you wouldn't try to sell to a prospective customer by saying, "You should buy this because it will increase my sales." Instead, you focus on why it's in their best interests. And that means understanding their perspectives and their world. This is exactly the same with your own employees. So the title of this podcast is what I call the frustration formula. Rational plans plus talented people equals slow progress. But if you add one more element to the formula, one that is often and surprisingly neglected by some of the brightest analytic business thinkers, you'll find it makes a lot of difference. And it's this: rational plans plus talented people plus the feeling that it is in their best interests equals rapid progress. So as you think about this idea, here's a possibility for today. Have a think about your business and ask yourself, where at the moment are people doing less than you want? Where are you baffled by their lack of activity? Go and sit with them and go and look at it from their point of view and see if you can understand why doing the thing you want them to do actually doesn't make sense and doesn't feel right from their point of view. I think with that insight, you will know what to change in order to make it happen.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Performance Podcast with me, Andrew Bass.